So welcome to the Cult TV Club. Today we're looking at that dynamic duo of Daring Do, Batman and Robin.
In fact, the Boy Wonder.
And the Boy Wonder, yes. We're looking at the 1966 TV series. There are some people who have seen this in this episode and others that haven't seen this series at all before. Firstly, I guess we'll go around the room, but we have Alex.
Yes, hello, this is Alex, and I am far too young to watch this series when it first aired.
Please don't.
Holy podcast, Batman, I can't even say it. I'm Lisa, and I remember watching episodes that were on repeat back in the 80s sometime, but I don't think I've sat down and watched an episode in probably about 30 years.
Yes. And I'm Terry, and I have to say that my whole childhood was brought up on Batman and Robin, and I must say that back then it all just seemed so believable and just we were there, but having watched it today, it's like, I can't believe I found it so good. I cannot believe it.
Jeanette, I remember my brother watching it, and I remember the music, and I remember that he had the Batmobile. I actually remember the toy Batmobile far better than I remember the TV show.
Yeah, as a kid, I watched Batman, and I had all the toys, including the Batmobile, had a utility belt.
And the cloak.
And the cloak. Yes. And everything but there was a plastic mask that I couldn't get hold of that one other kid had, and I was so jealous.
Yes. The thing I recall too is there was a big issue when I lived in England where a lot of kids used to think they were Batman and tie something around their neck and jump out of bedroom windows. Mm. So they had a lot of injuries kids that didn't realise that. And as she said, Batman cannot fly, boys and girls.
I once did that myself, jumping off a stagecoach. But I thought I was Superman at the time. It was a bit of a long drop. Yeah, so who hasn't seen this particular series before?
I have not seen it before, because especially when I was a young bugger, far younger than anybody else in the podcast. Basically, the Batman series I remember would be, say, the animated series that was launched in the 90s, and was far more realistic, it's the wrong word, but far darker and far less cheesy and cartoonish, which is weird, because it was animated. The animated cartoon that was made in the 90s was more real than this Technicolor Odyssey.
So this isn't Batman.
Yeah, and even then, like, the last time I saw the Joker, it was Heath Ledger's Joker, and there's, like, a different...
But he does have the same mask. He uses the clown mask.
Yes, this the TV series, when you look back, was very tongue-in-cheek. Mm. Nothing serious to see here. Yes.
Yeah, in comparison to...
Alliteration is just hilarious.
And in comparison to why it's so serious, the latest movies, just, like, maybe it's just a sign of the times. Like, the 60s, how cheesy was the 60s the first... when it actually was happening? Like, as in, you could get away with something that cheesy and ridiculous, but having it today, nobody would actually trust it because they want something that's actually realistic, or realistic in quotes, when in practice, say, Game of Thrones isn't realistic, but it's realistic in the sense of people being horrible and people dying in comparison to, let's be silly and punch things.
I think in the 60s, anything like Batman and Robin, fantasy, whatever, it was purely for children.
Yes,
sure. It was entertainment for children. Mm-hmm. Adults would never go and watch a Batman and Robin film. Or,
no.
And when the first Batman film, the
Tim Burton one,
Keaton, know quite where to pitch it.
Sure.
Because they were pitching it to people that had grown up with Batman and Robin, and they knew that people had that, adults would come and see it. So they were trying to, and it took a while to work out actually where to pitch.
And we also, as well, like, we live in an era where every single movie is a superhero film, whereas that was, like, the first one, probably.
Yes.
It would be such a...
There was a TV series prior to this where, there was a Batman one, It was in the 50s, and it had Batman Robin as detectives, so it was very detective.
So it was very straight-laced.
So DC, of course, stands for Detective Comics, and in the early days, they were detectives.
Because I know they had Superman stuff back even really early in the piece, like the 30s. You know, 30s and over the radio, and then the 50s and what have you. But then, I didn't realise that this wasn't the first Batman series as well.
It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the episodes we just watched were The Joker is Wild and Batman is Riled, which is season 1, episode 5 and 6. And I think it was the first time they'd actually shown the Joker in that series. I don't know if he was in the earlier series or not. I'm sure someone could let us know.
Depends on when the Joker was introduced originally in the comics, I guess. Because if the detectives and being serious, at what point did it go from serious detective work to cartoonish supervillain?
That's an interesting question. In the comics, I mean, initially the Batmobile was in fact a wagon-style thing with a lab inside it. Inside, so they'd go in there and they'd sit in their chairs and actually do things like investigative detective work.
Yeah. I'm really happy that we went with a Joker episode, though, because the Joker in this show, look, the other villains are great, but Joker is the best. Cesar Romero, I'm getting so excited. Cesar Romero is just, isn't he brilliant? Like, just
I think he was a Shakespearean actor, I think.
Yes, I think so.
Seriously? It was all, you know, it was all just
very over the top.
Extremely over the top, yes.
Yeah. I pitched him as this ex, like, vaudevillian type actor. Like, he seems that he's got that real kind of song and dance man about
That's probably what he was portraying in a really good way.
One of the things I really love, and one of my favourite bits of useless information about Cesar Romero, is that I love how he has the full face makeup and the moustache underneath.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, when he got the role, he said, "I'll do it, but I'm not shaving off my moustache because that's my image, that's my, you know." And so it just looks ridiculous. It's got this full moustache underneath.
The white moustache.
Yeah. White moustache, that's right. Yeah. And it starts off with him escaping from prison.
Being sprung.
From this ridiculous coil spring that pushed him over the edge, and you know, suddenly he's been sprung from the pen.
I love that.
So realism zero.
Yeah.
Zero, yes, exactly.
Oh. Yes. I noticed the warden's name was Crichton, which I thought
yes.
The signs and stuff were always really, I never realised how many little hidden jokes the props department and the set designers must have had a ball. I just, I kept finding ones, but they weren't even ones that were on display. They'd have these little secret signs. Like, there was one that was like a chemoelectric secret writing detection lab. And of course, you know, we all saw the Hall of Fabulous Jewels. Where else are they going to go hunt down the jewels?
The bags that have the dollar signs all the trick or treat in this
Game. Yeah, exactly.
I laughed so hard watching this. I don't think I've laughed that hard in ages.
Lots of notes of things like, you know, sprung from the pen or holy red herring, Batman.
Love it.
I kept asking myself the question, I wonder if they ever got any acting awards for any of this stuff.
Heavens no.
Would they have the inverse of acting awards back then, like for worst actor?
Raspberry.
No. Most hammy actor in a television serial.
I think Chief O'Hara would have probably got a bit of a nod for that.
The other thing that really amused me was how they barely ever want to fight.
I mean,
the boy wonder he ever got into a fight.
That's right.
One of the things I loved about the fight scenes is the Joker's stunt double looked nothing like him. And there were so many shots where you could just see the stunt double's full face. He's holding one of them. And I'm like, that's not even anything like him. It was completely, I don't even think they got anyone that resembled him. It was just some random stunt double they've pulled in and gone, oh, yeah, you'll do. We'll stick some white face paint on you.
I thought the makeup, that would be enough.
And probably also back in the day, they had TV screens that were like 12 inches and wouldn't be able to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
There was one scene that I couldn't get over. It was when they threw that clown doll through the window and the Chief O'Hara called him the chaplain of chicanery.
That's it. So those kinds of sayings, the dynamic duo, the chaplain of chicanery,
the dashing diamonds of Demingdo,
all that comes straight out of the vaudeville.
Luxurious alliteration.
And if you look at some of the other villains that were there was Burgess Meredith playing the Penguin. He was also in the vaudeville
crowd. Yes.
So you've got a lot of these seasoned, I guess, both actors and comedians and song and dance people coming in and playing these roles.
Yes.
And lots of fun. Very similar to other sci-fi series of the period.
Well, Dr. Smith from Lost in Space comes to mind.
Yes, exactly.
He was another one. That
Another vaudeville actor.
Another vaudeville actor, yes. Okay.
These are the kinds of fellows that would turn up to a park and start selling stuff.
Yes.
Wonder, snake oil and wonder pills.
Yes.
So the people who hadn't seen this before, what do you think of this? Jeanette, you haven't told us what you thought of this series.
It was hilarious. It was very funny. I just, I love the script, the alliteration, the over-the-top lines, and the colour, the use of colour, because this was early colour. I didn't realise it was colour because I only ever saw it in black and white, so the colour was such a... But it was shocking colour. Yeah,
I think that's probably the star because it's like, hey, if you don't have colour TV, you'll miss out, and that's part of the advertising of colour TV. Like,
yeah,
that's the...
You could almost have a test pack as a series, you know, like, adjust your set to match these colours.
If you haven't seen the Riddler is bright green. Yeah, so he's hard on the eyes. And a lot of the series is very hard on the eyes.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, like, the continuity cracked me up, because Joker kept going from, like, brown hair to green hair. Like, it was obviously, you could tell the order that they'd filmed the scenes, because his hair was just getting, you know, it would be, like, bright green, and then the next scene it would just be, like, brown with a little bit of green, because the dye's coming off. But then... back, you know, I guess if a huge percentage of the people watching this would have been watching it in black and white, it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
And the ones who were watching it were kids who didn't care.
That's it.
Yes. That's it.
This was actually a fairly short series, would you believe it? It only ran for 2 years. Well, basically two, from, I think it was January 66 to about March 68. So only 2 years. Yeah. And that's amazing when you think about the impact that it's had. And people all remember that old series.
And that theme, and all that.
It only ran for 2 years.
Because I left the UK in 1966, and so I'd watched it early 66, and then came to Australia, and then in about 68 it started.
Yes.
Because the UK got it, always used to get stuff before Australia. And then, of course,
it was true that the UK had a no reruns policy, so they wouldn't rerun things.
Exactly.
Yeah. In Australia, we didn't have that. So these got repeated and repeated.
It's like Lost in Space. I thought, my goodness, you know, they're just going to keep running this forever.
It's the same with Doctor Who. The English only got to see it once, and we just saw it endlessly. Yeah.
Indeed.
So I think we got to see a lot more Doctor Who than the English. Actually.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
And I think we brought it up on previous episodes, but that's why The Goodies was bigger in Australia than it was in the UK. Because we used to just show it more.
Yeah. It was such a treat to watch it again.
Definitely. So in comparison, what do you think about the new Batmans versus the old Batman? Watching this now is almost like throwing a bit of mud in the eye of the new series, isn't it?
Yes. I think it's a totally different genre, isn't it? I think you described it well when you said, look, vaudeville act. It's very vaudeville. It's comedy.
It is a comedy.
Whereas, like, I guess today, we want the superhero to fight the bad guys, and we have no sense of cheese, no sense of even, like, frivolity in the series at all. It's like, need to have the super serious fighting sequence, and not the two people fighting just in really awkward close quarters, like, holding each other, moving around side to side, and occasional punch.
The most dangerous thing that happens is they get attacked with confetti.
Yes.
And that the big scary thing to happen at the end of the first episode is they might get their identities revealed.
Yeah, that's how you deal, though.
And really, with dress sense like that,
I guess that's understandable because, you know, Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara are going, oh, look, you know, they're nice men, but they're no Batman and Robin.
And it's also like, say they're talking to Bruce Wayne, and it's like, oh, we need to talk to Batman. Batman's not here. Oh, darn. And Bruce Wayne's like, I'm glad they can't work out my secret identity.
And how would you explain away that Bruce Wayne wanted to take the little clown home? Can I take this as a souvenir? Oh, sure you can. There you go. Get it out of here.
Take this important evidence. We don't need it.
So how do you think this has aged in terms of, you know, this is the question we always ask. How badly has it aged?
I think if it was made in the 70s, it wouldn't exist. Like, I think it's entirely 60s, but then again, I've been there a second of my life in the 60s, but it seems so ridiculous, like, say, Gilligan's Island or Lost in Space, that kind of weird, cheesy stuff you can only have made in that era. And it wouldn't have
been made in the era.
I think just the tastes have changed so much in what we want from superheroes. We want possibly even, not satire, but worldly issues, like the superhero film of the year, because we're in 2018, it's Black Panther, and that's socially conscious now, and we want that rather than cheesy people punching each other.
And I know I'm usually the cynic when it comes to things like this, and I'm always saying that things have aged badly and what have you, but there wasn't a lot of groan laughter when I was laughing at this today. I was laughing so hard because the comedy in it was landing really well. 50 years later, they were nailing it every single time.
Maybe there's a difference of, like, it wasn't taking itself too seriously. Yes, and so, like, if it was, like, we are doing a serious detective thing, it's like, no, we're being goofy.
And I think there was always a thing for many decades afterwards where it was like, Adam West didn't even know he was in a funny show. You know, he was, you know, trying to play it serious. No, he wasn't. He was just being a really good straight guy.
He was being a straight guy.
Because you need to have a good straight man to be able to have a good comedy. Yes. Any comedy that lands well, if you've got everyone playing comedian, it doesn't work as well. Yeah. And he nailed that because he does it. Even Robin, you know, with his holy Jack in a Box and holy ravioli, like, you know, even he has a bit of the comedy. Adam West just plays it straight down the line the whole time and it works so well.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing at keeping that straight face.
You may say they're hammy actors, but they were deliberately hammy.
They knew what they were doing.
Very deliberately hammy.
Yes.
Yeah. I do wonder if it was aged the day it came out. It was so cheesy and so over the top that I think people would, even then, would look at it and go, oh my God, which era did this come from?
Yes.
But I do remember that when we watched it, when I was a child, everybody was watching it.
Yes.
Parents, grandparents, they all sat there and they were entertained by the absurdity of the themes and the characters. And it brought families together. You were an odd person out if you hadn't watched that night's show because everyone watched it.
Well, these days we all watch it on the mobile phone on the laptop screen. So who should watch it these days? Who would be the audience for this now?
I would let my kid watch this.
Do you let your grandmother watch it?
I don't know. I don't know whether a sense of humour is probably... Yeah, your mum probably would.
I remember that bit. Oh, that's funny, that joke.
When I said I was coming here tonight, she's like going, oh, I want to come, want to come. And I'm going, oh, and I'm like, oh, you won't like it, it's Batman. Oh, I want to come. And I'm like, no. But I'm thinking she would have actually really enjoyed
to hear what she has to say.
Yes, yeah. And I think this is probably... at her age group, and I've said at previous shows, she's really into a show called Teen Titans Go, which is has Robin and Cyborg. It's all the DC younger characters, and the comedy is very similar, except it's an animated show. It's that same kind of wacky slapstick type stuff. So I think it's still got an audience. I think it's just that it's got the 60s dating, but it still holds up.
It feels though, because I'm used to stuff that's far more wacky than the stuff they had in the show. So as a result, I thought, oh, this will be so silly and over the top. And it wasn't, because I've seen more silly and over the top things than that. So in a sense of like, I was expecting it to be more ridiculous than what it was, because I've been brought up with flash animations that make this look tame.
Yes.
So,
and look, we made you watch an episode of The Goodies where they were running around with mailboxes on their heads. Yeah. So compared to that, you know, this probably seems a little bit more real back.
And with this, you just don't look into it too deeply, because did anyone notice that the Joker's accomplices never lost their caps? There's people getting thrown around the room and they never, ever lost their caps. It's pretty good.
So
before we go, everyone has to do the da-da-da-da. Batman.
You're going to get a copyright for singing off key. Batman!